Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. As we continue in our Epiphany season, as we've said a few times over the last 2 weeks, Epiphany means manifestation or appearing. Manifestation or appearing. Every time I hear this word Epiphany, by the way, my kids went to a preschool in Iowa. Three of my kids went to a preschool in Iowa, a Lutheran preschool, and their teacher had a song for everything. And so, and the song for Epiphany, I won't sing it for you, but the first line was, Epiphany, Epiphany, it is a funny word. That was the first line of the song. And so every time I hear the word Epiphany, that's what goes through my mind, is it is a funny word. But as we've said a few times, it means manifestation or appearing. And when we think about manifestations, we probably think of some, you know, extraordinary things, like we saw last week in the baptism of Jesus, when the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove, and we heard the voice of the Father coming from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And often in Epiphany season, we'll hear about Jesus manifesting himself through things like changing water into wine, or through a great miraculous catch of fish, and so on. And then we get to our reading today, and the Epiphany, the manifestation of who Jesus is, isn't so extraordinary, but rather quite ordinary. We don't see a miracle. We don't see Jesus calming the storm or walking on water. We don't see Jesus wowing people with his extraordinary teachings. We see John the Baptist and a couple of John's disciples. Actually, first we see John announced generally as Jesus is approaching, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." It's actually quite an extraordinary statement as he points people to Jesus and who Jesus is and what Jesus came to do. And we'll come back to that pronouncement a little bit later on in the message, that Jesus is the Lamb of God. But for now, we see that John the Baptist testifies to who Jesus is as Lamb of God. And in verse 34, we see him testify to Jesus as the Son of God. We don't see everyone, though, flock to see Jesus and begin to follow him. The next day, Jesus came by again, and John tells two of his disciples, again, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And it says that the two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. They followed Jesus. They heard, and they followed. I want to talk a little bit today about discipleship. We're all familiar with the 12 disciples or the apostles, these chosen men that Christ called to be his co-workers and to send them out and proclaim his message of resurrection and life. As many of you know, disciple simply means to follow, It means to be a student and to follow in the teachings in the direction of their teacher. These two men that we hear of, one of them we're told is the Apostle Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. These two men were disciples, followers of John the Baptist. And they leave John in order to follow after the one that John came to testify about, the one John came to point people to. And now they start to follow Jesus. Quite literally, actually. It's kind of a funny story, just kind of as an aside, you know. One day, John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He proclaims this message. The next day, he says it again, and his disciples are still standing with him. It's kind of like he's saying, "Hey, did you not hear me yesterday? Go follow already." And they literally start following until Jesus turns around and is like, "What do you want? Tell me what you're looking for." Anyway, let's talk about what a disciple is or how one becomes a disciple. Our most informative text on this topic comes from Jesus' words to his disciples after his resurrection. And we heard it actually a little bit ago during Tom's commissioning, these words of Matthew 28, where we hear, "Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, then teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you." So disciples are made by baptizing and teaching. That is, that they are brought into a relationship with God by water and the Word, by water and the Spirit, united with Christ, belonging to Him, and taught to walk in the ways of the Lord, taught to walk as children of our Heavenly Father, and as those who have been washed clean of their sins and given the gift of life and salvation. We also know that this wonderful text, we also know this other text that comes from Romans chapter 10, that also tells us how one becomes a disciple. It doesn't mention the word disciple in it, but it's clear. It's through the hearing of the word of God, St. Paul says. How can they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in him in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? And then skipping down, here's the most pertinent part. So faith comes from by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. In our gospel today, Andrew and the other disciple hear the proclamation of the gospel from John the Baptist, the preacher that God sent to people to point people to the Savior. They hear him proclaim, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He preaches and he teaches them and he says, "Look, there he is." And when he does it again the next day, like I said, he's kind of saying, "Why are you still here? Did you not hear what I said? Go follow him." So discipleship doesn't happen simply through, you know, these extraordinary things. They happen when ordinary people like you and me tell other ordinary people, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." I'm not talking about standing on street corners and pointing to a cross or randomly telling people, you know, about Jesus, but pointing others you know, others that you have a relationship with in your everyday life, your family and others, as you talk about life, love, struggles, what's important. As you talk to them, as you live with them, as you go through life with them, talk to them about what is most important to you, and show them the Lamb of God who has taken away your sins and the sin of the world. Point them to Jesus the way John pointed these two disciples to Jesus. Tell them God's word. Here's something we forget as disciples of Christ seeking to see other people also follow Jesus. We forget that we're not the closers of the deal. That's important for us to remember. I hope you know that and remember that. You're not called to close the deal and convert people. The Holy Spirit does that. The Holy Spirit converts. The Holy Spirit grabs hold of people and brings them to new life. What are you called to do as disciples pointing other people to Jesus? Speak his word. Simply speak his word. In ordinary, everyday life, we speak his word. We testify to who he is. We share the blessings that he has blessed us with. And here's the best part of it all. His word works. His word works. Faith comes by hearing. We heard that. It doesn't mean that everyone's going to automatically believe, but God's word is effective. It works. John the Baptist spoke the word. His disciples listened. We speak God's word to others. They hear, and the Holy Spirit will be at work. Truth be told, it'll probably be more than a sentence, unlike, you know, John the Baptist. Perhaps he said a lot more. And it may be a lot longer than, you know, the next day, like these disciples here. Might, in fact, often take years. But as followers, we point others to where the truth and the life is found. If you will, we live out our daily lives as one beggar telling another beggar where to find the bread. "Behold, the bread of life come down from heaven who gives life to the world." You don't have to talk that way when you talk to people about it, but we just are pointing them to Jesus. And I've always loved the rest of John 1 and the calling of these first disciples. Jesus turns and he asks Andrew and the other, "What are you seeking?" It's kind of a loaded question there, but they ask where he's staying, because they're seeking him. and what he has to teach them. So they want to stay with him and learn. Where are you staying? Remember, Jesus is the Word made flesh who came to dwell among us. So as he has come to dwell with us, they, as now followers of him, want to dwell with him, abide with him, stay with him. Where are you staying? He says, come, and you will see. It's not simply talking about his accommodations that night, but come and see that I'm staying with you, that I'm dwelling with you. In other words, he's saying, follow me. And then Andrew, of course, finds his brother Simon Peter and tells him that they have found the Messiah. It's quite simple. John points and proclaims God's word. Jesus invites them to come and see, to learn, and they tell their family and friends who he is and invite them to come and see. We're told the next day, not in our text today, but if you keep reading in John 1, starting at verse 43 and following, we're told that the next day, Jesus calls another disciple, his name's Philip, and he says to him, follow me. And Philip finds Nathanael and tells him who Jesus is. Nathanael's not convinced. So what does Philip say? Come and see. Come and see. So I want to keep this message rather short and sweet this morning. I know you're thanking God for that. God's word proclaims and reveals to us who Jesus is. When I speak his word, or Pastor Eric speaks this word, or when our Sunday school teachers and others proclaim this word, it's not usually very extraordinary. I know you already know that. You don't have to comment on that. But it's not usually very extraordinary. But it is effective, not because of us, but because of the Holy Spirit working in and through God's word. It looks ordinary. It sounds ordinary. But in and through it, God does the extraordinary. When you share the word, pointing others in your life to what's most important, to where your hope is found, they might be everyday, ordinary conversations, but the Holy Spirit works in and through them as you point them to the truth. And they likely have lots of questions when you talk to them. My guess is that often you're not sure how you should answer. Well, first of all, you probably could, I might encourage you to be in Bible study with other people here at St. Peter's, to be in our Sunday school class, getting equipped more and more. But maybe you don't know how to best answer. Let me give you an answer that you can give to others as you're having these conversations. Come and see. Come and see. Invite them to walk with you. Invite them to church where the Lord continues to teach both of you through the hearing and the learning of his word. Invite them into a community of followers who collectively can probably answer some questions that you individually can't answer. Come and see. You've been called as a follower of Jesus. You have heard his word. Maybe you've had some extraordinary event, happen in your life that brought you to be a disciple of Christ. Or maybe your story is much more like mine and has been a lifelong journey from infancy. Either way, you've been made a disciple. We hear, we point, we follow, and we share. Come and see. And in case we miss some of the most important words in this text, let me go back to what I mentioned earlier. Let me point you to what's most important in our lives as disciples of Christ. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You have a Savior. Your discipleship, your following of Jesus is not based on your worthiness and how well you follow. Thanks be to God, because we fail daily. Your discipleship is based on the worthiness of the one you follow and what he has done for you. He has taken away your sin. He has paid the price. He has gone through death and the grave for us, and we follow him to everlasting life because, behold, he is the Lamb of God who takes away all of your sins and mine and the sins of the world. Amen.